I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm there.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fake Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life, coming straight from the side, going down, audio shop talk right in your ear hole. I am your homeboy, your mother's boyfriend, your host, Joseph Ward, a.k.a., yep, I said it already. Already knowing how we do it right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Hey, don't forget about our app, all you Android users. Remember, Android way better than iPhone anyway. I don't know why people use iPhone. Anybody who know anything about technology don't like iPhone. But anyway, all my Android users, go to the Google Play Store. Type in Freedom Train Radio and download our app. That way you get everything in one place. Like, you don't even have to do all that other stuff. You don't even got to go online. Just on your phone, just bam, get the app, and you in there. So Freedom Train Radio in the Google Play Store, download our app, get down with us. Now get down with us. And then you also have access to the live streaming through the app. So we have live streaming now, and you're going to start to see a whole lot of new stuff added to the live streaming, so make sure you get into it. That way you can keep up with everything that we got going on right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. And remember, the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants provides African history at your fingertips via the African History Book Series, the African History Blog Series, the YouTube channel, the African History Curriculum app, which is also available in the Google Play Store for all you Android users, On the Shoulders of Giants, African History Curriculum app, the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization, and the classes, lectures, speaking engagements, educational sessions, all the things that you want. And On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 3, South America, is on its way. It's being written right now. I'm in album mode since I'm an author. I'm in book mode. So y'all make sure y'all check it out. www.ontheshoulders1.com to learn more about the blog and the books, and www.ontheshoulders.org to learn more about the nonprofit organization. I'm in album mode. I'm in book mode. I gotta go up. All right, so let me tell you what I'm talking about this week. So HBCU spotlight is being shined on the former Norfolk State women's basketball player who's going to make NASCAR history this weekend. Give you an update on the World Cup, where we at, what we got going on, how it's going down. If you know about Tyler Honeycutt, he is dead now. And I'll tell you why Tyler Honeycutt is dead now. It's a tragic thing to happen. And I'm talking about Jemele Hill versus Candace Owens. And do a little cracking. I'm having some fun with this. Got some more fun. Leonard Fournette is mad at Madden. Shout out to Pat, my homeboy Pat, for sending me this story to talk about. But Leonard Fournette is mad at Madden because of his Madden rating. So, you know, I got jokes for that, too. Will the Cowboys, with the 2018 NFL Super Bowl champion, Dallas Cowboys sign safety Earl Thomas. We're going to see. Now, last week, I forgot to do this. I forgot to do the Trump versus the NFL. Got more jokes for that. I'm going to remember to do it this week, Trump versus the NFL. I got you. So then we're going to get a little heavy. We're going to get a little serious. LeSean McCoy is accused of orchestrating an attack on his ex-girlfriend. We'll talk about that. And then our weekly rant is aimed at Brandon Browner, who's been charged for attempted murder. So, you know, we're gonna let you know about all these stories. But time for our HBCU spotlight. And if you really want to get it, man, you got to do it right. Say that spotlight. Yeah, so former Norfolk State women's basketball player to make NASCAR history on Saturday. So, Breonna Daniels adds another chapter to her legacy as a NASCAR trailblazer this Saturday when she becomes the first African-American female pit crew member to work a race in the Monster Energy Series, the sport's top series. Daniels will change tires for Rick Ware Racing and Ray Black Jr., driver of the number 51 car at the Coke Zero Sugar 400 Saturday at the Daytona International Speedway. The race will be televised live on NBC starting at 7 p.m. Daniels, who played for the Spartans from 2014 to 2016, broke two barriers last year. The former NASCAR driver for Destiny Pit Crew recruit became the first African-American female to pit a National Car Racing Series event last April for an Automobile Racing Club of America race in Nashville, Tennessee. In June 2017, she became the first to pit a NASCAR National Series event when she worked the Truck Series race in Dover, Delaware. This week, she works the sports top circuit for the first time at the famed Daytona International Speedway. In fact, Daniels will be one of two females to pit the race, another NASCAR first. Former Alcorn State softball player Breonna O'Leary, another drive for diversity recruit, would change tires on the same team as Daniels on Saturday. Oh, my Lord! Oh, my Lord! This can turn from just one, shining my light on one person, to shining my light on two people. Breonna O'Leary. Oh, my God! Oh, my God! So, hold up. So, we got Breonna Daniels. Breonna. Her name is Breonna. Breonna Daniels. And then Breonna O'Leary. Okay, Breonna Daniels and Breonna O'Leary. Okay, so O'Leary will be working her third Monster Energy race this year. The two who are roommates. Oh, my God, they're roommates. Oh, my God, they're roommates. Oh, my God. I don't know why I did that, but yeah. Who are roommates will be just the fifth and sixth female driver for diversity alums to reach NASCAR's highest level. It's hard to believe I've only been changing tires for 2 years, and now I'm here at the Monster Energy Series level. Daniels said in the NASCAR press release, "What I'm doing in NASCAR is so much bigger than me. It's been so rewarding to be part of history while at the same time inspiring others to take on challenges they thought might not be possible." Hallelujah! All right, so Breonna Daniels and Breonna O'Leary. 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 So you know how we got to do by HBC this spotlight. I'm going to put your hands together for Breonna Daniels and Breonna O'Leary. Go and die. Got to get up to come down. Jamming like I'm jamming in the jam. You got to come up to come down. And they came up to come down. They coming down on y'all, man. Breonna and Breonna. Breonna and Breonna. Say Breonna and Breonna. Breonna and Breonna. Say Breonna and Breonna. Breonna and Breonna. Say Breonna and Breonna. Straight coming all down. In the pit crew for the NASCAR now. Breonna and Breonna. Doing that pit crew for that NASCAR, representing the HBCU, drive for diversity. Drive for diversity. One time for y'all ladies, man. Straight salute to y'all ladies. Salute to y'all ladies. Salute to y'all ladies. All right, let's move on. Let's 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 move on in this show. Talk about a little soccer. Give you a little NASCAR update. I mean, excuse me, not NASCAR. See what Brianna and Brianna did to me? They got me thinking about NASCAR and driving and stuff. Nah. All right, so soccer. FIFA World Cup. Remember I told y'all last time we talked, remember I told y'all that the World Cup was down to the final four. Well, nah, the World Cup is down to the final two. So we got our championship game and we got our third place match. So, as expected, France beat Belgium. They beat Belgium 1-0. You know what I'm saying? And remember, France, going in this, for me personally, I'm just talking about me first. For me personally, going into this game, I think France, I don't really know, but I just assumed France had more black people. And it looked like France had more black people, so I went with France. Right? And France, they did their thing. Now, this game, this game actually was looked at as the game that hosted the two best remaining teams. France and Belgium were lauded as the two best remaining teams in the tournament, and it just so happens that they are faced in the semifinals rather than the final. But it's all good. Now, the other semifinal game was an upset because the team who was seen to be like the third best remaining team was England. So we got France, Belgium, England, and Croatia, right? And they kind of had them ranked in that order as far as the best teams, right? So France versus Belgium, England versus Croatia. And the upset is Croatia beating England 2-1. Now, let me tell you how it was, because I get the updates on the games on my phone, right? I can't. I be at work and stuff, so I can't, like, really, really watch it like I want to. And even if I wanted to, I really couldn't at work, because we do a lot, right? So when I was tuning, when I was first tuning in, I think going into the half and most of the game, England scored first. And I was like, oh, shit, man, you know, England might take this. Remember, I'm not watching it, though, but I'm just looking at the updates and everything. I'm like, damn, man, you know, England might take this. Because, you know, they're talking about how Croatia's been the underdog team, the team who represents the country of only 4 million people, so the tiny nation of Croatia, the way they're looking at it, right? So, and to put that in perspective, Florida has like 4 million people or you know what I'm saying? That's like Croatia, like the size of a state, right? No, just put that in perspective, right? So Croatia comes back 2 goals. They thundered back 2 goals. So Croatia came out with the victory over England, and now Croatia have propelled themselves into the championship game, right? So the third-place match will take place Saturday, July 14th, and it will be between Belgium and England starting at 10 a.m. So I got to work Saturday, but I'm going to be watching some of this before I go to work. So, because by the time it's time for me to leave to go to work, this match should be over, rather. So, the World Cup final, Sunday, July 15th at 11 a.m. You best believe I'm watching this. I'm waking up early Sunday morning, getting everything out of the way that I need to get out of the way, so I can watch this whole match between France and Croatia, because this is going to be a good one. And, of course, you already know I'm going for the team with the most black people. So that's how we roll. So, yeah, man. You already know. Kick, punch, it's all in your mind. If you want to test me, I'm sure you'll find the things to teach you. I'm sure to teach you. I never the lesson. Take a lesson from teaching. Now kick. Y'all remember that Parappa the Rapper game? I know I said some of the words wrong. But it don't matter. Don't be judging me. Y'all always judging me. Don't be judging me. You don't know me. I quit school because of recess. You know what I'm talking about? All right, let's get a little heavy for a minute. Tyler Honeycutt kills himself after exchanging gunfire with police. So former UCLA and Sacramento Kings basketball player Tyler Honeycutt has died following an exchange of gunfire with Los Angeles police Friday night. A family member on Saturday confirmed to KABC that Honeycutt had died. The Los Angeles Police Department says it responded Friday afternoon to a report of a man with a gun, and during the initial encounter, the suspect fired a shot out of a residence and officers returned fire. Crisis negotiators were called and a SWAT team found an unresponsive man who was pronounced dead by paramedics. The department did not identify the man, said he appeared to have died of a self-inflicted gunshot. No officers were injured in the altercation, according to LAPD. Several residents in the area have been evacuated as a precaution. Honeycutt, who was 27, played for the Bruins, UCLA Bruins, from 2009 to 2011. He was a second-round pick by the Kings in 2011 NBA draft and played in 24 games over two seasons before continuing his professional career overseas. So that's kind of all the information they got. So he had an exchange of gunfire with Los Angeles police. Family members, I'm just trying to reread through this so I can get this. Los Angeles Police Department says it responded Friday afternoon to a report of a man with a gun, and during the initial encounter, the suspect fired a shot out of a residence and officers returned fire. Crisis negotiators were called and a SWAT team found an unresponsive man who was pronounced dead by paramedics. The department did not identify the man, said he appeared to have died of self-inflicted gunshot wounds. So, okay, I had to reread so I can make sure I wrap my mind around this before I speak. Because this is a sad, unfortunate situation for Tyler Honeycutt himself and his family. And I'm going to try to look at this from many different viewpoints, because maybe Tyler had issues. Maybe Tyler was already suicidal or something. I'm not sure. That's why I was trying to read again to make sure none of the officers kind of killed him, or got to look at other information. Of course, you know, I'm dig deep into this and keep y'all updated, but making sure it wasn't saying that he got killed by the officers or anything, but they're saying a shot was fired out of the residence. Out of a residence. I don't know what the hell out of. I'm guessing they're saying he shot at the police. I guess it seems like what they're saying is he shot at the police. The police returned shot, returned fire. So did they hear any other, were any other shots fired from Honeycutt's gun? So could the initial shot have been the self-inflicted wound? The officers responding to a gunshot returned fire. Or was there another shot during the exchange, or during while the officers were shooting, where Honeycutt then killed himself? Or did somebody else kill Honeycutt? But if nobody else was in the room or in the residence with him, and none of the shots hit him, if that could be proved, then, okay, self-inflicted wound, which is an unfortunate situation. So what would drive Honeycutt to put himself in this position, and was Honeycutt already suicidal? Right? Because I'm just trying to ask myself questions, and you guys can chime in too. You all can chime in too. You know how to get at me, man. Check me out on the website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Hit me on Twitter, at JoeWar84, or at Freedom Train Net. Instagram, Freedom Train Network. Facebook, Freedom Train Network. YouTube, Freedom Train Network. Hit me up. Let's talk, man. Communicate with me. What do you all think happened to Honeycutt? Like, go Google the information. Read through it. Tell me what you all think happened with Honeycutt, because I want to jump straight conspiracy theorists with this. I do. I do want to go conspiracy theorists on this. But the rational part of me won't let me just go straight there, because I want more information. I want to make sure that going to put my energy in the right place. I want to make sure that I'm not just trying to defend him because he's black and had an encounter with the police, because this young man may have very well had issues. And so before anybody just jumped to any conclusions on this, make sure you research the information. But this is a very, very, very unfortunate situation, and I'm sad for his family. Sad that the young man ended up putting himself in this position. If you're just going off the information that we had, that the young man put himself in this position, and then while in this position, killed himself. That's unfortunate. These are not things that we want to be happening to members of our community. Remember, this is a sports show, but this show is also designed to empower our community members through sports. It's just sports is the vehicle that we use to empower our community members, right? Because we can use sports to our advantage if we learn how to do it, and if we learn what our advantages are, if we learn why. But wow, man, wow, I'm sad. I'm saddened that this has happened, and this is another wake up call for us to pay more attention to what's going on with our friends and family. Ask more questions, try to be more involved. I'm not sure where I even want to go with this one, to be honest. I'm not sure because they say it's one gunshot. So was that one gunshot, there was that initial gunshot, was that the self-inflicted wound? Was that the self-inflicted wound? Was it? What's that initial gunshot, the self-inflicted wound? Because if it wasn't, then were there any more gunshots? Did he shoot any more times? Because if they can only confirm that the gun was shot once, but at the time of the gunshot he was still alive, then who killed? But if that initial shot was him killing himself, then that makes sense. So, you know, Joseph got some digging to do. Joseph got some digging to do. Yeah. All right. So let's move on. Let's move on. Let's move on. So scrolling through social media early in the week, right? And we're gonna get a little light. We're gonna get a little light right here before we heavy it back up, you know. Scrolling through social media, and I see that Jemele Hill getting into it with Candace Owens, the black chick who got the Republican Party's dick in her mouth, and she think white people like her. The little black chick who I don't really give a shit, but you know, Candace Owens, whoever, yeah, whatever. But Google her, but. Candace Owens, she really loves white supremacy and white America, and she's like their pet, like they pet. And so she's the black person in the room saying, no, racism isn't real, and everybody got all the information to prove racism. So that's the type of chick Candace is. So, hell on with her. So let me read this to you. Former Sports Center host Jemele Hill was unfazed Monday when conservative commentator Candace Owens challenged her to a debate on racism, which is funny. The two engaged in the social media spat after Owens, who received praise from the likes of President Donald Trump and Kanye West, show you where she at, right? Accused Hill of being used by Democrats to paralyze blacks with undue fear. According to Fox News, the conversation began after Hill quoted a tweet from CNN about a group of anti-gun violence protesters who had shut down an interstate in Chicago. But what about Chicago, the sports writer tweeted in all caps, mocking the rhetoric often spewed by conservatives in the gun debate. I'm glad that I'm reading an article by Atlanta Black Star. I'm glad they broke this down, because when I first read the information about this spat, and it was like, but what about Chicago? The context wasn't really made, so I didn't really get it. But okay, so she's saying, all right, y'all crackers always talking about what about Chicago. Now you see people. Take care, Chicago. All right, I'm with you on that. So, Hill later responded to her critics, adding that black people just hate racism. That's it, she tweeted, and that's the only reason we've been labeled as liberals. Some people have turned racism into a political issue when it's a moral one. That's when outspoken dumbass Candace Owens offered her unsolicited 2 cents because she a pussy hoe. She a fuck girl. Candace Owens is a fuck girl. Basically, she president of the Fuck Girl Association. So, all people hate racism, Jamil. That's gonna be my Candace Owens voice. Oh fuck girl. All people hate racism, Jamil. That's what she wrote back. Haven't met a single white people that loves being called a cracker or a Spanish person that prefers being referred to as a spick. Now, Candace, you might not have met a white person, but there's a whole group of white people in Central Florida who are self-proclaimed crackers. There are a lot of Hispanic people who do call themselves spicks. So, you know, maybe you need to broaden your horizon. Something, but you know, all races have people who call themselves things that they should call themselves. So you know, but ain't nobody ask your dumb ass though, Candace. That's the thing though. Ain't nobody ask your motherfucking ass a damn thing about what the motherfucker you thought about the motherfucking situation though, with your dumb ass. So she's talking about the last part of her tweet is I'm young though, so there's still time. Ain't nobody fucking with you, man. Ain't nobody fucking with you, Candace. He'll disagree, right? And with all due respect, all people do not hate racism. ESPN personally took the time to explain why she felt some folk are comfortable with racism. Racism is profitable and worse, comfortable, Hill wrote, who made headlines last year after calling Trump a white supremacist, showing a disdain for slurs about appearing polite. I'll be far more impressed when that energy is used to dismantle systems created to crush marginalized peoples. And so that was Jamel Hill's response to Candace Owens. And so Candace Owens responded, racism is definitely profitable. On that, we agree. It's why Dems use people like you to continually speak about it. Okay. The goal is to paralyze black with undue fear, keeping us enslaved to ideologies that continue to fail us. We'd love to discuss this with you on the Rubin Report. See, Candace, you a dumbass. So Candace is one of the dumbasses who believe that if you ignore racism, it'll go away. Well, what your dumbass don't understand, because your dumbass don't know nothing, dumbass. And if your dumbass read, you would know that, hell, dumbass. Racism, motherfuckers try ignoring racism, and it hasn't gone away. Matter of fact, we know how racism ain't going away because you are defending racism with your dumb ass. You are defending a system designed to crush your dumb ass, and you are their pet with your dumb ass. Candace Owens, you a dumb ass. Like, you are the pet of white America. They don't like you. They use you. And if you take the time to study the history of this country and study what's going on right now, racism is alive and well. If racism wasn't real, the water in Flint would not still be fucked up. If racism wasn't real, the oil pipes wouldn't have been red, would have been laid through the Keystone area. The Keystone pipe things wouldn't have been laid. And then the goddamn oil spill messed up the people's land. Like, racism is real. That's how white people are still killing people who are black and getting away with it. Racism is institutionalized. It's real, Candace Owens. And I know you know what you're doing. Let's just be real. Like, you know exactly what you're doing. So that makes you even more of a dumbass, because you know what you're saying ain't right, but you see the advantage in saying what you're saying. So that's why. That's one of the real reasons why we don't fuck with you, Candace. Because it's one of two things. Either you are real fucking stupid and you can't read, or you playing a Oscar-worthy role. It's one of the two. Either you're a fucking idiot or you playing an Oscar-worthy role, right? So So, you know, she asked, she said she wanted to discuss it on the Rubin Report and the largest talk show with Free and Rubin Report is on YouTube. If you truly believe what you believe and your goal is to educate, the greatest thing would be to do is to respectfully debate so that many people that follow us can understand the source of her perspective, she wrote in a follow-up tweet. Hill didn't take the bait, however, left Owens on read, when asked by a critic if she would take the conservative pundit up on her offer. Hill had this to say: "I find it strange that people make these kinds of requests often. Is this pay-per-view? The implication is that anybody tagged in has to validate their viewpoint." So they were asking her, are she going to debate Candace Owens? And so Candace Owens replied, "This seems like a long-winded way to admit that you don't possess the intellect to back up your assertion." So this is Candace Owens' way of, you know, trying to push that limit, you know what I'm saying? So this seems to be the case for all people that chirp the loudest about how racist America is. I wonder why. So, and see, you got to be smart not to fall for some dumb shit like this. See, that's some juvenile shit that Candace was. That's rudimentary right there. Seems like a long-winded way to admit that you don't possess the intellect to back up your assertions. Candace Owens, her debating your irrelevant ass won't end racism. Candace, Jemele Hill debating you won't solve shit. And it's like, what? Why, if I'm Jemele, like, why would I waste my time debating you? For what? What's that going to solve? How that's going to end racism? Just because you disagree with factual information don't make me wrong. You know what I'm saying? And you can, if I'm Jemele, I'm just speaking as Jemele, if I'm Jemele, you can throw all the jabs you want, but that don't still stop you from being a dumbass. Because like I said, you're either a complete idiot who can't read, or you're playing an Oscar-worthy role. So, Candace, you tell them. You say what's up. You let it be known. And Jemele Hill should have hit you with the Dr. John Henry Clark. "I only debate my equals. All others, I teach." Hey, man. One time for Jemele. See, she probably shouldn't even went in the back and forth with her on Twitter, but y'all got to stop going on these dumbasses' platforms, giving them shine on their platforms about this. Yeah, she going to talk about Jemele and call her cowards and all these things, but we are, man, at the end of the day, Candace ain't going to run them hands. That's it, be real. Candace ain't going to run them hands on Jemele at the end of the day. She can talk all that fuck shit she wants. She ain't going to run them hands, and white people still don't like her. You know what I'm saying? So that's when you're an adult and you know you write, like, because you can read. Man, look at Candace at the end of the day. Find information to prove that systematic racism don't exist. And run them hands. And if you ain't going to do that, fuck out of here. You're wasting my time. You was a flea and I'm the big dog. I scratch you off my balls with my motherfucking paws. All right, let's move on. 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 So Leonard Fournette is mad at Madden because of his rating. He didn't get the rating he wanted on Madden, and he's talking about, "Remove me from the game." I think it's funny as hell. I personally think this is kind of hilarious. So let's get a little further into this information, right? I do. I really think it's hilarious. So Madden season is just around the corner, right? While many sports gamers can't wait to get their hands on the annual football release, August 10th. Football release on August 10th. The game usually causes controversy among NFL players when it comes to how their virtual selves are rated. This year, developer EA Sports got on the bad side of former LSU running back Leonard Fournette after the Jacksonville Jaguars star thought the 87 overall rating he received was too low. Hey, and he thought EA Sports wasn't going to say nothing back to him, right? So Fournette retweeted a video of his reaction to the news, which promptly solicited a response from EA Sports from the official Madden Twitter account. The thoughts that Fournette's won a higher rating, he needs to factually prove why. Like, they really told Buddy to provide facts. The account tweeted the statement telling Fournette and any other NFL player not happy with their ratings to send in factual video evidence or any other evidence to specify why your ratings need to be high. They like, show me what you saw that we didn't see. To me, if you can show me something that we ain't seen, we'll bump you up. We'll tighten you up. If you can show me something that you see that I ain't see, and we got you, right? So, this is funny, right? So Fournette, however, was not having it. I'm not sending nothing. Just take me off Madden, period. Fournette responded through a retweet with a few crying emojis added for impact. He acted like a little bitch. Yeah. Now let me read this word for word what EA Sports tweeted back to him or sent back to him. It says, "Dear NFL player," I'm doing my white people voice. "Dear NFL player, we understand the concern with your current Madden NFL 19 rating, buddy. In order for us to consider your ratings, we require factual or video evidence of why your specific ratings should be higher, buddy. Please send your submission to @EAMaddenNFL for an official inquiry. Upon submission, our ratings experts, buddy, will carefully review your request before coming to a final decision. Yours truly, Madden 19, buddy." So, fans of Fournette also responded to Madden's rating statement, sending in video for Fournette's 90-yard touchdown against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where the rookie is said to have ran the fastest NFL speed for the season during the run. Fournette's team also got in on the fun, posting a list of ratings Madden missed that should be accounted for, including ratings for Fournette's Instagram stories, his charitable work, and his hair. Hey, they gave him a zero for his hair. Hey, man. Hey, that's funny. Hey, this is, I messed with Jacksonville for this. You know what? I'm going to watch Jacksonville games just for that this year. I'm going to pay attention more. Hey, they gave him a 96 for Instagram stories, a 99 for charitable work, and a zero for his hair. Yeah, because his edge is trash just like mine. Ha ha, yes, sir. Me, Leonard Fournette, and LeBron James all got trash edges. But I made my Madden rating at least be a 3 for my hair, though. I at least get a 3. Hey, man. They talking about IG stories, 96, jokes on teammates, 99, touchdowns in Pittsburgh, 100, charitable work, 99, cleat game, 99, hair, 0. That is funny. As for the components of Fournette's 87 overall rating, Madden's developer rated his speed and acceleration at 91, agility at 88, ball carrier vision at 83, carrying at 91, and trucking at 95. Fournette is tied for the 9th best rated running back in the upcoming game behind Le'Veon Bell, who got 96, David Johnson got 93, Zeke Elliott got 92, Todd Gurley got 92. Now, hell, if Zeke, Gurley, and all these boys got these, why the hell you think your rating, what Fournette, where you think your rating should be? So you got Le'Veon got 96, David Johnson got 93, Ezekiel Elliott got 92, Todd Gurley got 92, Devontae Freeman got 91, LeSean McCoy got a 90, Kareem Hunt got an 89, Alvin Kamara got an 88, LeGarrette Blount, Deion Lewis, and Christian McCaffrey all got 87. Fournette, whatever, boy. Now, the funny thing is, Fournette, like, man, take me out the game, dog. Take me out the game, nah, fuck that shit, dog. Y'all got me on the game, dog. Oh, that my dog. Y'all be about that bull dog. Y'all about that bullshit, dog. I'm telling my grandma, y'all, dog. Fuck that shit, dog.
I'm telling my grandma, y'all. Dog, you're gonna give me 87, man. What you doing, dog? You're gonna give me 87 on the game, dog. Dude, man, fuck y'all, dog. That shit ain't funny, dog. Y'all gonna give me 87, dog. Fuck y'all, what you looking at? Oh, sissy. Shut up, sissy. I hit you in your face. I'm gonna tell my grandma, y'all. Yo, sissy. I don't want to play football with y'all no more. Oh, sissy.
Shut up, Leonard. That shit funny, man. This is fucking mad, man. That shit ain't that serious, man. Fuck out of here, man. Yo, sensitive ass. How you strong ass that damn sensitive, man? Fuck out of here, Leonard. Stop that shit, man. They gave you a zero for your hat, though. That's funny. Your edge is trash, man. Now, the funny part, the kicker is, they can't take Buddy off the – well, he can request all that all he wants, but they have access. They have the rights to his likeness and stuff like that. So he can request them to take him off the game, but they ain't going to take him off because they own the rights to his likenesses and things like that. So got access to it. So, and he's a part of NFLPA. So he got to take that up with the NFLPA rather than EA Sports. So, you know, fuck out of here, Leonard. Don't stop taking that stuff so serious, man. Don't take that serious. It ain't that serious, man. It really ain't that serious. Alright, and more football news. Possible Earl Thomas to the 2018 NFL Super Bowl champions. He could be traded to the Cowboys. Right? The Legion of Boom is dead, but one member remains in Seattle. Earl Thomas, the All Pro safety, has not yet seen his watch in for the Seahawks, but things remain very much up in the air in terms of what he'll end up doing in 2018. Come on to Dallas, B. Dallas got to make this happen. Come on, Jerry Jones. You got a history of fucking up, though. Jerry Jones, we passed on Ed Reed. We got to get Earl Thomas. You took Roy Williams over Ed Reed. You fucked up. You got to get Earl Thomas, B. A.B., you got to get Earl Thomas, B. We got to shore up our secondary, B. You got to get Earl, B. You can't be with that fuck shit, Jerry. Your edge trash, too. Your headline trash as hell, too, Jerry Jones. So, Thomas is holding out and will probably prefer to get traded, but no one was willing to pay Seattle's asking price during the draft. The logical landing spot is Dallas, and the Cowboys didn't draft any defensive backs, although they did reportedly make an offer for Thomas. So it's logical that a possible trade is still in the play. It better be in the play. Dallas, you can't fuck this one up, man. We got to get E.T. E.T., are you with me? Right? That's the phrase used. That's the phrase used by former Dallas Cowboys scout, not DallasCowboys.com writer Brian Brodus, who appeared on the Shane and RJ show on 105.3 The Fan, CBS Sports Radio affiliate last week. Now, E.T., are you with me? Ain't the phrase, but still, the Thomas trade is still in play. It's the phrase that was used by Brian Brodus. But I say, E.T., are you with me? That's what I said. Right. So the Cowboys have to look at their situation and safety and figure out if it's going to be good enough. Are we able to compete for a division? To get to in the playoffs, could Earl Thomas be a guy? Could be a difference maker, Brodus said via the Dallas Morning News. I feel like that the Earl Thomas situation still is in play. It's just a matter of where Seattle was going to be. I don't believe Earl Thomas is going to sit out games for Seattle. I really don't. You're talking about a guy that makes over $10 million. Players don't just leave those checks on the field just for principle. For that reason, I think that Seattle's going to have to figure out something. The Cowboys are going to have to figure out something, and maybe they do work something out there. The issue with Thomas's situation is a slew of moving parts. The Cowboys and Seahawks are both in weird spots in terms of competing for the playoffs in the NFC. Seahawks have to believe they're still contenders, even after reshaping their roster this offseason. But trading Earl Thomas to Dallas would be handling a pretty strong weapon, handing over a pretty strong weapon to another NFC contender. So, bitch. Motherfucker, they did that before, so, bitch. Remember, Reggie White went from Philly to Green Bay. That's NFC. Remember, Deion Sanders went from Atlanta to San Francisco to Dallas. That's NFC. I'm just saying. There are plenty of those already making the Cowboys better this year. Doesn't make the Seahawks better this year, especially when the player involved comes from Seattle roster. But Seattle has to understand Thomas isn't long for Seattle. He has one year left on this deal. Getting something from him now, maybe a second round pick, would benefit them in the long haul. On the other hand, Dallas has to have assurances Thomas will be willing to sign in Dallas or even want to sign him in the first place. Man, both sides want each other. Stop fucking around. Both sides want each other. Both sides. The Cowboys also have to balance their long-term needs and short-term desire to win. It's a very complicated situation because of Thomas's talent, his contract issues, and his age, as well as status of the two teams involved. It's likely a lot like the Lakers-Spurs situation with Kawhi Leonard. There's a very good chance Thomas signs with the Cowboys anyway after this coming season, but can Dallas risk him going elsewhere? Will they want to pay him after this season? Is missing a year of Thomas's prime coupled with a potentially dangerous young team worth holding out on a draft asset? Lots of questions that need to be answered here before anything can happen. But it might ultimately come down to Jerry Jones seeing the Cowboys get beat deep a couple of times early in the preseason and realizing this year could go up in smoke if Dallas go smoke for Dallas if they don't get an enforcer on the back end. It definitely feels like something is in play, right? So that's what's going down. Hey, now, one of the things that I did here is that contracts, being able to pay people long-term, like moving forward, so being able to pay Dak, being able to pay Earl, being able to pay Zeke, being able to play other defensive players and other important people. So that's one of the concerns. But, you know, man, sometimes, man, you got to do things to win Super Bowl. And that's why we're going to win the Super Bowl this year with Earl Thomas on our roster, because we're going to do some things. We're going to make something happen. Jerry Jones, with that trash-ass hairline, going to make things happen. Earl Thomas, come on to Dallas. How about them Cowboys? With Earl Thomas. We can make that happen, man. We got to make this happen. This is something Dallas can't whiff on, man. Earl Thomas is it. Him and Eric Berry, man, they them dogs back there. So we got a chance to get E.T., man. We got to get E.T. Man, you got to make these. You got to get these contracts right. Just understand, man. Yeah, you're gonna have to pay people. Yeah, but shit, to win, you got to pay. And Jerry Jones got it too. Jerry Jones got that money. So to win, you got to pay. I believe we can make this happen, man. I really do believe we can make this happen. I really want us to make this happen. I really need us to make this happen. Dallas Cowboys, we need to shore up our back end, and our secondary is trash, right? Dallas secondary been trash for a long time, but our secondary trash. We need Earl Thomas back there to help erase a lot of things that are going to happen or could happen on the back end with our players. But it's the contracts. It's not just Earl Thomas's contract. It's the contract of, like, Zeke, Dak, and other players who contracts will be coming up down the line. And if they balling, people are going to want to get paid. So I do get that. I do not strap in yourself financially, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do to make shit happen. And Earl Thomas is working. E.T., are you with me? Let's go ahead and get him while he's still in his prime, because he's 29. Let's get him while he's in his prime. Let's not bullshit around, Dallas. Let's not bullshit around. All right, so Donald Trump is back talking shit about the NFL. So I told y'all I was going to remember this time. I remember, right? Donald Trump back. Man, you know what? Let's just play it. Let me let y'all hear what Trump said about the NFL.
Hey, how about the NFL? Look, I don't want to cause controversy. You're right, USA is right. I don't want to cause controversy, but how about they pass this stupid thing? You don't have to do this anymore. If you don't respect the flag or if you don't like the country or whatever it is, just go into the locker room. Just go into the locker room. I think in many respects, that's worse. Isn't that worse than not standing? You know? I think that's worse. So they say, go into the locker room. So, okay, the anthem's getting ready to play. They run into the locker room. Then they come back out. You know what? It doesn't play. It doesn't play. I actually think in many ways it's worse. I heard this thing that they were so happy, the owners. This commissioner, where this guy comes from, I have no idea. They're paying him $40 million a year. And their ratings are down 20%. But you know why the ratings are down? Yes, the flag. But they're also down because people find politics. In other words, hitting Trump incorrectly, but hitting Trump, they find that to be much tougher, meaner, and more interesting than watching a football game. They actually do. And they're watching the cable networks instead of watching football. They're down 20% since this whole thing started with the flag and the anthem.
Hell, nah, that's funny. Hey, so trash-ass Trump is telling the NFL, hey, y'all garbage. Motherfuckers would rather watch me trash y'all and talk about y'all garbage motherfuckers than watch you. That's what Trump's saying. Trump saying Roger Goodell a bitch and he garbage. He's saying the whole NFL is second rate to him, and more people would rather watch him than the NFL. He's saying the new anthem policy is stupid. And they created the policy because of people like him. So he's coming out and saying, man, the anthem policy is stupid. So he like, so you're gonna take these people who would protest on the field and just make them stay in the locker room. So if they stay in the locker room, we know who all feel the way they feel. That's what he's saying. So he like, how that's gonna change anything? Listen, you know, I find that hilarious. Like I told y'all in previous episodes, the NFL dropped the ball all the way on this. Until my NFL dropped the ball like Hot Hands Higgins in the beginning of the Little Giants movie. No, I'm talking about NFL totally fucked this one up. Totally dropped the ball on this one. And Trump pounced on it like a motherfucker. Let's listen to it one more time.
Hey, how about the NFL? Look, I don't want to cause controversy. You're right, USA is right. I don't want to cause controversy, but how about they pass this stupid thing? You don't have to do this anymore. If you don't respect the flag or if you don't like the country or whatever it is, just go into the locker room. Just go into the locker room. I think in many respects, that's worse. Isn't that worse than not standing? You know? I think that's worse. So they say, go into the locker room. So, okay, the anthem's getting ready to play. They run into the locker room. Then they come back out. You know what? It doesn't play. It doesn't play. I actually think in many ways it's worse. I heard this thing that they were so happy, the owners. This commissioner, where this guy comes from, I have no idea. They're paying him $40 million a year. And their ratings are down 20%. But you know why the ratings are down? Yes, the flag. But they're also down because people find politics. In other words, hitting Trump incorrectly, but hitting Trump, they find that to be much tougher, meaner, and more interesting than watching a football game. They actually do. And they're watching the cable networks instead of watching football. They're down 20% since this whole thing started with the flag and the anthem.
Trump, you trash as hell. But anyway, NFL got a hell of an opponent in trash, even though, I mean, Trump, not Trump had trash, trash had Trump, but NFL has a hell of an opponent. Trump is still mad because the NFL didn't allow him to be an owner of the Buffalo Bills. So we know he's childish and he's going to hold grudges. I find this funny. I find this funny. Crack-ass crackers versus crack-ass crackers. This is rich cracker shit. Rich cracker fight. and they mad at each other. Now, I'm going to talk shit about you in public and all these things here. And he straight trashing the NFL. He dropping diss tracks on the NFL. You know, NFL, they're going to take the high road. But, you know, I think it's funny. I think they should get into a beef. They should drop real diss tracks on each other, like Roger Goodell and Dan Roger, you going to let Trump talk about you like that? Roger Goodell, you going to let Trump trash you like that? You going to let him talk about you like that? What you going to do, Roger? Come on. Roger Goodell on that Drake stuff. Robert Kraft is Jay Prince. Roger Goodell is Drake, and Trump is Pusha T. Pusha D and Raj and R. Prince. Robert Prince. R. Kraft. Yeah. So yeah, whatever. But that's funny. I just find it hilarious that Trump is not letting up on the NFL's ass. Give him hell, Donald. Give him hell. Fuck that shit. Give him hell, Donald. Fuck with him. Make him uncomfortable. Fuck it. All y'all dumbass crackers anyway, but whatever. But I just find that hilarious. All right, let's move on to get a little more heavy, a little more serious about what's going on in this world of sports. LeSean McCoy is accused of beating girlfriend in horrific photo. Now, I've read that, but then I've heard other people talk about it, and some people say he orchestrated something. So let's read. LeSean McCoy has been accused of beating his girlfriend, according to an Instagram post from a friend. The user, @Millmore_I_adore, posted a disturbing picture Tuesday morning that showed a woman who she says is Delicia Corden, McCoy's apparent girlfriend, with cuts, bruises, and blood on her face, with the caption that alleged, among other things, domestic assault by the Bills running back. McCoy quickly denies the allegations. And this picture is fucking horrific. This picture is fucking horrific. Whoever or whatever happened to this young lady, I don't know. This picture is fucking horrific. Like, wow. Wow. So, for the record, the totally baseless and offensive claim made against me today, this is LeSean McCoy talking, made me on social media completely false, he said in a statement. Furthermore, I have not had any direct contact with any of the people involved in months. In a statement released later in the night, Corden's lawyer said she was physically assaulted by a male assailant who entered the home with no signs of forced entry. They claimed the man demanded specific items of jewelry that McCoy had previously gifted her and also requested back more than once. They also alleged that McCoy would often suggest to Ms. Corden that she could be robbed because the jewelry was expensive. During the attack, Corden's wrists were bruised and the face was hit multiple times with a firearm, according to her lawyers. The other woman injured was her cousin. Police in Milton, Georgia are investigating the accounts, and according to ESPN, the Bills are aware of the allegations against McCoy and are looking into it. The preliminary investigation indicates that the residence was specifically targeted by the suspect or suspects and not a random incident. Milton police said in a statement when officers arrived, they found one victim who had been physically assaulted by a lone intruder. During the altercation, the suspect demanded specific items from the victim. An adult female victim was treated and released at North Fulton Regional Hospital. A second adult female victim sustained a minor injury during the incident. The friend who posted the image of Corden would later take it down from Instagram. @ShadyMcCoy, it's the devil. You are an animal, the caption read. We didn't say anything about how you beat your dog Henny into kidney failure. Let's not talk about all the times my best friend had to stop you from viciously beating your son for small things like peeing in the bed. We kept quiet about your drug usage, all the illegal steroids and needles you were using. But we'll not keep quiet about this. I can't believe you did this to my best friend. Your karma is going to be so real. The world needs to know what type of animal you really are. This was just her yesterday on the left, and now this morning this is her on the right. Woman beater, animal abuser, child abuser, all those in hashtag. In 2016, McCoy was accused of assaulting two off-duty cops. Whatever. But, wow. Like, man, this young lady's face is horrific. This young lady's face. Somebody got to get fucked up for this. Somebody did something what the fuck they weren't supposed to do. I don't know if it was LaShawn or not or whatever, because a lot, some of the information is suggesting that somebody else did this. Like, it was a hired hit. Like, I was listening to a report earlier, and that's what they were suggesting, like this was a hired hit. But according to this, what I'm reading in the New York Post right now, what I just read, it seems like they're suggesting that LaShawn McCoy, either LaShawn McCoy came in and beat the young lady with the weapon, or LaShawn McCoy gave access to somebody to come into the residence and beat the young lady with the weapon. But either way, whoever did this, if all of this is true, whoever did this, they need to be fucked up. Like, straight, like, this young lady's face is horrible. Like, this shit is unacceptable, man. This young lady's face is horrible. Like, I don't know who the fuck or what the fuck or when the fuck or what the fuck, but somebody got to get fucked up. This shit, like, man, I don't know, man. All I know is this shit shouldn't be happening. This shit should not have happened. Wow. Shady McCoy, if you did this, you need to be fucked up. I'm talking about fucked up. I'd cut your fucking ankles off if you did this. I would end your football career. I would physically fuck you up and end your career if you did this. If you were involved in this, I would fuck you up to the point where your football career is over. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even be able to pronounce any word that started with an F once I get through with you. If you did this. If you didn't do this, whoever did this needs to be, oh man, you need to be hit by a truck. What happened to this young lady was unacceptable. For the most part, what's being explained is another unhealthy relationship. America breeds unhealthy relationships. Most of us embrace and talk unhealthy relationships. These are unfortunate situations. I talk about these shits too much on this show. These things happen too much across the spectrum of sports, not just the NFL, but across the spectrum of sports. This shit happens too much. Nobody should be putting their hands on nobody. No female has the right to put her hands on the man, and no man damn sure don't have the right to put his hands on no goddamn female. Man, Shady McCoy, look here, bro. If you truly did this, man, off with your head. What happened to this young lady is unacceptable. If you did this, there are many different ways for you to get your property. But this route, if you did that, man, no. Straight torture. We would torture. I would torture you if you did that. But it's like, if you didn't, whoever the assailant is needs to be fucked up. He needs to be hit by a truck. He, like, literally needs to be ran over by a Mack truck. Like, what kind of fuck nigga are you to even receive a call or be willing to be somebody's hitman or something like that? What kind of low self-esteem motherfucker are you to be willing to be somebody's hitman? Like, motherfucker, if you got beef with somebody, you go handle it yourself. Or you get you some goddamn fucking counseling, motherfucker. Goddamn, like, these, come on, like, us men have to do better. As men have to do better. Straight up. Us men got to do better. Until we choose to do better, we're going to keep reading shit like this. Because everybody know damn well that if this happened to the woman you love, you'd be pissed the fuck off. So guess what? Just in general, be pissed the fuck off. In general, be pissed the fuck off. Because this some fuck shit. This some bullshit. I don't even, like, I can't even say I hope it's not true. Now, I'm not even going to say that because somebody put their hands on this young lady. Somebody was part of this. And whoever was a part of this, you need to be fucked up. Somebody need to take, like, they need to put your face in a pit of hot coals and let that shit just cook your bitch ass face. Whoever did this is a straight bitch boy. You could tell him I said it. You know, going to somebody's house and beat. Like, if you didn't, like, I understand you, like, McCoy didn't want the girl to have the house, didn't want her to be in the house. He didn't want her to have the jewelry and all the items. There are other ways for you to get your shit. There's other ways for you to get out of the house, other ways for you to get your property back. But God damn, man. I'm not saying anybody's guilty or innocent, but what I do know is a lady has been assaulted, severely assaulted, brutally assaulted, and somebody got to pay for it. Because somebody did that. Whoever did that got to pay for it. Whoever did this to this lady got to pay for it. And I just hope at the end of the day, I just hope this is no hoax. I hope the picture that I'm looking at is no hoax of either self-inflicted wounds or makeup or anything. I don't know. But they say she went to the ER and she was treated. So it should be hospital records and all those things. But I just hope that this ain't no crazy stuff. No. Wow, man. Wow. Wow, man. That's some bullshit. Somebody need to get fucked up. Somebody need to get fucked up. And this takes me into my weekly rant into more fucked up information, more fucked up news about another football player, another black man. Former Seahawks cornerback Brandon Browner charged with attempted murder. Former Seattle Seahawks and Oregon State cornerback Brandon Browner was indicted by the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office for felony charges on Tuesday, including attempted murder. Wow. Hell of weekly rant information, Brandon Browner. Hats off to you, Brandon Browner, for making my weekly rant with this bullshit. You've been indicted by the DA. Officers responded to a home in Laverne, California, Sunday morning after a caller reported a man was attempting to break through a locked window. Browner, who was 33, allegedly assaulted the woman, an ex-girlfriend, who had a restraining order against Browner after the prior domestic violence incident, and threatened to kill her, according to Laverne police. Prosecutors also say he tried to smother her in the carpet. Browner, who fled the scene with the Rolex watch valued $20,000, was arrested by police hours later. Along with the attempted murder charge, Browner faces felony robbery, burglary, and false imprisonment charges and two misdemeanor counts of cruelty to a child. Browner faces the possible maximum sentence of life in prison, according to a statement from the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office. Browner, whose bail was set at $10 million, made an initial court appearance on Tuesday. His arraignment was continued to July 30th. Browner played three seasons with the Seattle Seahawks from 2011-2013, as part of the famed Legion of Boom secondary. He earned a Pro Bowl berth in his first season and helped lead Seattle to a Super Bowl win in 2013, though he missed the title game while serving a suspension for substance abuse. He subsequently had one-year stints with New England Patriots and the New Orleans Saints. He has not played in the NFL since his second round with the Seahawks was cut short when the team released him before 2016 season. Brandon Browner. Bitch boy. Fuck boy. Pussy boy. Y'all dudes, y'all big, sensitive, emotionally unstable motherfuckers need counseling, man. You motherfuckers, man, y'all piss me off, man. Y'all pissing me the fuck off, man. I'm frustrated, I'm pissed, I'm angry, I'm fucked up, all these things. Like, this shit don't have to happen, man. This shit don't have to happen, but y'all keep choosing to be bitches, man. Y'all keep choosing to be bitches about life. Y'all keep choosing this shit, man. Like, goddamn, man. Keep your fucking hands to yourself, man. These too many big motherfuckers out here, these dudes with goddamn emotional issues. Too many motherfucking men with emotional issues, emotional instability. Putting your hands on somebody ain't no way to solve no goddamn issue. Especially some domestic or relationship issue. Putting your hands on somebody. Brandon Broner, fuck you, man. Fuck you and everything that you ever stood for, man. That's what it come down to, bruh. Really, bruh? That's what it come this? Fuck you, man. Child endangerment, all these shits here, man. Fuck you, man. Fucking disgusting, man. You a bitch, man. You a straight whole hoe. Brandon Broner has reached whole hoe status. I'm trying to think of the most diabolical shit I could do to him. I would do to him. Like some diabolical shit. Like see if I can get some lava. And like dip his ass in the lava once every 2 minutes. And just let the lava eat his fucking body up. That's the shit I'm thinking. Like, tie his ass up, spread him around, like, smother him in honey, and let fire ants get hold to his ass. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. Like, make a rhinoceros gore him. You know what I'm saying? Diabolical shit I'm thinking about. Like, put a cherry bomb, like, take a cherry bomb in his mouth and let that shit just blow up. Like put it in his mouth, like, put a slit in the duct tape so you can see some of it and duct tape it to his mouth so he can't spit it out. Light the cherry bomb and run away. Just let that shit explode in his mouth. That's the type of shit I'm thinking for fuckboys like that. You know what I'm saying? Community, like, We got to ask ourselves, what are we doing to produce bitches like this? What's happening in our community that bitch boys like Brandon Brown are being produced? Wow, man, like bitch boys like Brandon Brown are being found too often. Like, I'm doing too many of these stories about people like bitch boy Brandon Brown. Like, Brandon Brown, man, fuck you. And everything you ever stood for, man. What the fuck, man? Really? Go try to break in the residence. You go break in the residence, and you want to go beat somebody up and try to kill the young lady. You try to kill her. Come on, man. Come on with the fuck shit, man. You try to kill the lady. I don't know what the fuck, man. I don't know what the fuck to tell you. I really don't know what to tell you. Other than fuck you. And I hope you get fucked up. Fuck you, man. Fuck. Hey, man. Look, man. Look. Yeah, man. Yeah. I just want to leave y'all with a word.
Hey, how about the NFL? Look, I don't want to cause controversy. You're right, USA is right. I don't want to cause controversy, but how about they pass this stupid thing? You don't have to do this anymore. If you don't respect the flag or if you don't like the country or whatever it is, just go into the locker room. I think in many respects, that's worse. Isn't that worse than not standing? You know? I think that's worse. So they say, go into the locker room. So, okay, the anthem's getting ready to play. They run into the locker room. Then they come back out. You know what? It doesn't play. It doesn't play. I actually think in many ways it's worse. I heard this thing that they were so happy. The owners.
Get him, Donnie. Talk your junk, Donnie. Talk your shit, Donnie.
$1 million a year. And their ratings are down 20%. But you know why the ratings are down? Yes, the flag.
Why?
They're also down because people find politics.
Why? Okay.
In other words, hitting Trump incorrectly, but hitting Trump, they find that to be much tougher, meaner, and more interesting than watching the football game.
You lying.
And they're watching the cable networks instead of watching football.
You lying.
They're down 20% since this whole thing started with the flag and the anthem.
For real? Hey, man, Donald Trump, classic dumbass, man. But, you know, in all seriousness, though, we have to truly do something in our society and our community to change the things that is happening. It's unacceptable that our women don't feel safe in the community around us black men. That's fucking unacceptable. And we're not just going to sit around and be mad about it, goddammit. We got to start listening to our motherfucking women when they talk. Shit like what's going on with Shady McCoy and Brandon Broner, it's fucking unacceptable. Those dudes should, you know, that shit should not even be fathomable. Shit shouldn't be fathomable. We should be ashamed of ourselves as a society to even produce motherfuckers like that. That's all I'm going to say about that. Just a little extra I'm going to say about that. Hey, man, this is Fix Sports Podcast. I am Joseph Ward, your host, coming straight from the South, right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. You know how we do it. Again, talk about my sports, freaking fantastic, focused, felonious Friday. Two fingers in the air like a player, Stephen Park, man. I don't know how we do. I got 32 chest hair. Yeah.
I call the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like